This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Hi everyone, Kate Delaney broadcasting from Ireland, where I'm getting slammed along with everybody else. Sleet and snow expected, 20 degrees right now as I am speaking to you. Heavy, heavy downpours, but that makes Ireland, Ireland unpredictable. You've got a layer and you got to keep your fingers crossed about the weather. Still thrilled to be here and thrilled to be bringing you some of the stories and nuances and really cool things, frankly, about Ireland. You can always go to ireland.com and check out what is happening in this amazing country where tourism, without a doubt, is number one. So trust me, they're paying attention to Brexit. I'm going to get to Brexit in a second, but first, big things happening here, including the president, as you just heard there, talking about the southern border. He says Congress has to act to keep the southern border open. There's a big scramble inside the White House over what's going to happen here, but the president isn't backing down. And frankly, this is one of the things he said he was going to do when he jumped into the office. So now he's saying, listen, Congress, and he said this on Tuesday, you got to do something. I'm putting this on you, basically, is what he said. And he's saying, you got to meet quickly, you got to make a deal. He said he could close the deal in 45 minutes. He could close the border. If you don't come up with a deal, we need to get rid of chain immigration. He said we need to get rid of catch and release and visa lottery. We have to do something about asylum. And he said, to be honest, we have to get rid of judges. We have to get rid of judges. And later, he explained that he no longer wants to catch people trying to illegally cross the southern border and bring them to court. So it's interesting because the whole 45-minute thing, Congress sweating it out, so to speak, and then after some pretty strong words in the morning, then there was kind of a back-off point. When I say back-off point, I mean by that the president later talked about a wait-and-see approach. And, you know, so cooler heads, I guess, in a sense, prevail, and knowing that, okay, I'm not going to turn around and close this. I think there were conversations in the White House about that. But Sarah Sanders even mentioned that the Democrats don't leave the president a choice on the border. What is he going to do? And, you know, Trump has considered adding an immigration czar, threatening to close the border. Then he's considering to come up with an immigration czar to coordinate immigration policies. You know, this is one time where I would say maybe we do need an immigration czar. But that point person would have to be pretty darn good at figuring out ways to pointedly have goals to go after those goals, meaning they're the point person. So what is it that they're going to do that advances immigration policies to the point where they're coordinating everything with the federal agencies and they're helping to push a plan forward. So this planning is coming with the president threatening to close that border as soon as this week if Mexico doesn't completely halt illegal immigration. And it certainly serves up notice that the president is going to continue to hammer his hardline immigration rhetoric and policies as he gets beyond this whole Russia special investigation thing as well that's happening and the AG releasing the redacted report and whatnot. But I talked to a Border Patrol agent the other day who wouldn't go on record but did tell me off the record that it's ridiculous because of the detention centers, the asylum seekers, the judges, the separation, that it's out of control. And in out-of-control situations, that's usually when the most danger happens. So you have the White House a little bit with mixed messages, because at first it's like, no, this is going to be closed, and then backing off with the wait-and-see approach. We'll see how long that lasts. Right, here's a real shocker. If I told you a Chinese woman who had malware in her possession got into Mar-a-Lago, close to where the president's place, so seemingly a couple of breaths away from the president, and was let through until it was discovered that she was a fraud. So this 32-year-old went up to a Secret Service agent at a checkpoint outside his Palm Beach estate on Saturday afternoon, said she was a member who wanted to use the pool, showed the passports as identification, seemed okay to the agents. And then when she got inside, she told agents she needed a front desk receptionist. She was there to go to the United Nations Chinese American Association event scheduled for that night. But no event was scheduled, and the agents were called. I mean, as soon as she said that, she blew it. She got in. But that's as far as she got. So I do think it's shocking. I do think it's a surprise that she can maneuver herself into that situation. Wow, wow, wow. In this day and age, and with the kind of amazing Secret Service protection that we offer. Very, very, very surprising. And at least you think that only these school shootings or possibilities happen in the United States. Today there were some scary moments in Dublin, and the reason why is because a school was on lockdown in West Dublin. There was a gunman who discharged shots at another guy outside the gates. So kids were kept in school as a precaution. Nobody was injured. It happened as the school day was finishing, and the school was put in precautionary lockdown. Doesn't matter where you are, just when you think it's okay and everything's going to be all right, some cockamamie thing happens. And, you know, anything to do with schools, churches, workplaces, I mean, anything to do, period, where you go after whoever is with senseless violence is a non-starter for me, of course, and for all of you, I'm sure. Come on, give me a break. But in this situation, what are they going to do? They have to go on lockdown. They have to treat all the possibilities as very, very real. And so if they have to scramble, then they scramble. That's what they do. By the way, speaking of scrambling, Joe Biden is sweating it out, but is apparently undeterred from the 2020 race. But these allegations that he's facing, wow, wow, wow. This is where it gets into a particularly tricky situation for him, because of going back in the mental archives of, ooh, who's going to come out and say what, that I touched them inappropriately. And by the way, these are just allegations. And what we mean is that Joe Biden is that kind of touchy person. So Lucy Flores, a former Nevada assemblyman, penned an essay on their encounter in 2014. She said she felt uneasy, gross, and confused. Woo! Hang with us, everybody.
Number one international best-selling author, Matthew David Hurtado's pain was simple. Lyme disease bankrupted him in 2009, watching bankers take everything from his family after building a seven-figure business from his couch. God called him to ministry to teach prosperity based on pain he could not tolerate in others' lives. IRS, creditors, car loans, debt. It's the Babylonian system, and you have to escape it before it's too late. Haven't you ever wanted to wake up from this nightmare? Matthew David's free quick study guide shows you what to do today to build lasting wealth in any economy. His discovery he made? It's all consciousness. Get Matthew's 7-figure quick study guide for clarity, certainty, and a proven strategy to build wealth once and for all. Visit escaperightnow.com. Do it now. It's free. Escaperightnow.com for a prosperous future ahead with peace of mind. Escaperightnow.com.
Retrievers, Labradors, Goldens are the main breeds that come through our door, but we'll train anything with four legs and a tail. My husband and I own a kennel. We train hunting dogs and also have a boarding and grooming business. And our dogs, they're athletes, and we feed them very quality food. You can't get enzymes in a commercial dog food because they cook it at such a high heat that so much important nutrition is just cooked right out of it. But adding Dynavite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite is nutrition.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
DINOVITE.
Dynavite's the bomb.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dynavite for life.
DINOVITE.com.
It's time to start drinking Tahibo tea. Tahibo tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Every week, someone calls in with a story of another miraculous recovery. Order your Tahibo tea now for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Call today, 818-883-7222. Again, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. All orders ship the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney once again, broadcasting from Ireland. If you go to ireland.com, you can see some of the cool places that I'm going. I'm going to post lots and lots of pictures from those places at Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. So start to look for that. It's, you know, absolutely mind-blowing. It's so beautiful here. If you can get to Ireland, get to Ireland. As they say, Tourism Ireland, fill your heart with Ireland. I understand about the adventure. It is, you know, it really is. It's absolutely incredible. The terrain, the people, the food, the everything. I mean, there's a little bit of everything for people to do here in Ireland, and I'm really experiencing that. Coming up my next day, I'm going to Galway. I'm going to get to walk around in the town of Galway. It's a real fishing village, and where so much culture and history is in Ireland, after having spent the day at the Burn, which has these incredible rocks and limestone. It's really just absolutely amazing. And oh, by the way, kind of a crazy observation. Two things. One, when you're driving around Ireland, you see all kinds of ruins. Like, you'll see a stack and it looks like part of a castle. And that's exactly what it is. And the theory here is, of course, tourism is so big, but thousands of years old, these, you know, half-built structures, they leave them. And it's just, oh, it's like amazing eye candy when you drive around. You feel like you're in a history book. I mean, that's my best way to describe it. And Ireland is 50% limestone, and you really, that's pretty much what you're seeing as you get into some of these green, lush, incredible areas. After having gone through the Atlantic Wild Way, 1,500 miles of coastline, I'm kind of at the start of that, and that's where that barren is. And it is pretty amazing to just see the nature of the people and experience it and kind of breathe it all in. I had a great lunch today at a place called Gus O'Connor's, and Gus O'Connor's is this pub that's in County Clare that has been around for a very, very long, 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 long time. And you get the traditional brown bread, they call it. And I had, eating light I am, I had mushroom soup that was just mind-blowing. And, of course, because it's so cold, you've got the, you know, you've got the fireplaces just churning and burning, and it's fun to see them just constantly work on the fire. It's not going to be as fun when the temperatures dip even lower and we get to like 10 degrees, but because we're having a couple of days of some pretty wicked weather. So, for example, in Galway, we were going to take a boat trip, and I think we're lucky that we're not taking that boat trip, because it would be too cold and the Whitecaps would be just way too much, I think, to try to cut through that water. Anyway, fill your heart with Ireland. Go to Ireland.com, and you'll see some of my pictures starting in the next couple of days at KateDelaneyFanPage.com. All right, moving along to what I say the show is about, the buzz in your backyard and the buzz in my backyard. One of it, of course, one of the things that we talk about is the border, the border, the border. The president at first saying, hey, I could shut this down, then saying, okay, well, I'm going to wait and see, really kind of hammering the Democrats that he wants affordable care to go to be done with. And they, you know, let's come up with another plan. Republicans are panicked because they have no other plan. And because with 2020 looming so closely, don't want to have to try to figure out what they're going to do. Nobody's really said, yeah, I'll jump on that, because they don't want to jump on it. They don't want to get into trouble with voters who are unsatisfied with health care, period. You know, there's not too many people that you can find that are happy about their situation unless they work for really, and you may be in this category, you work for a really, really big company and you have just, you know, phenomenal, what I would call phenomenal health care. And if you find yourself in that situation because of the massive amount of people that are on the plan, and you get good rates and you get good coverage, you know, frankly. But the insurance companies have really, some aspects of it and some aspects of Big Pharma have cut into soaring health prices and the economic squeeze that we all feel. I want to move on to a couple of other things. And you know, when I use the word things and I talk about the intersection of what's happening in the U.S., how about this? This, to me, especially as somebody who just was on a plane, flew over the pond, was on a plane for 6.5 hours, was on another plane for 3.5 hours, and I've talked to people in the airport about this, the U.S. Air Force halting delivery of Boeing refueling a plane over debris found on board. So, you know, for the second time in 2 months, the Air Force stopped accepting deliveries of the Boeing KC-46 tanker and refueling aircraft after debris was found in the planes coming off the production line. You have the Air Force Secretary Heather Wilson telling Congress, we actually stopped again the acceptance of the KC-46 because of foreign debris that we found in some of the compartments. So this is a quality control failure. It's not design. It's not engineering. It's quality control. I mean, remember, last month the Air Force stopped deliveries on, you know, mid-February, sometime after trash and tools, or FOD, were found on board some planes. So somebody is laying down on the job. And Boeing, boy, Boeing doesn't want anything to do with any more controversies as they're immersed in the jumbo jets. And the fact that they've got people that have backed away from ordering them. And I think you have jittery public, meaning people who want nothing to do with that, who see what's happened and they see it on the news, and they hear about the Southwest plane that had to turn around with the pilots, and that does not make anybody comfortable. Oof. At all. In fact, it causes them mostly to squirm. So we have a couple of battles brewing. We've got Boeing in trouble with a couple of different areas that don't endear them to, frankly, anyone. And you wonder about that stock. You wonder if it's going to drop like a rock, or are they going to straighten out the MAX situation, the jumbo jet situation, because that's number one, and get those jets delivered, or is there going to be more stoppage in that area? And I'm going to say I think it could drag on. I don't think that this is an easy fix. It doesn't feel that way to me. I think the FAA has to clear it. I think there is a little bit of a wedge that's growing, and I would be crossing my fingers. I would be doing the rain dance. I'd be doing, frankly, any superstitious thing that anybody can think of to change the fate of where it's headed, I guess, is the best way to say that. Yeah. Where it's headed. All right, let's go to this story that I found, because when I happened to look at a crazy photograph of this, and in looking at the story of the official water down tallest dam collapse story, and I saw this on Fox today, but the water flows down California's dam that was rebuilt just collapsed. And you look at the reconstruction there 2 years after it crumbled because of the rain and forced thousands of people get, be evacuated because of catastrophic flooding possibilities. And water flowed down the spillway into the Feather River. Storms this week, melted snowpack, swelled the lake behind the dam in the Sierra Nevada foothills. And so, of course, the engineers of the California Department of Water Resources are scrambling, because you have spring storms and wintry wet stuff that coats the mountains with the snowpack, and it's not good, because this main spillway was supposed to hold up, and apparently it's not holding up. Wow, the original spillway, 770-foot high dam. Woo! All right, stay with us.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The House Judiciary Committee votes on Wednesday on whether to subpoena the full findings of the Russia probe. California Congressman Adam Schiff says House lawmakers are united about releasing the report in its entirety.
We voted 420-0. There's little, as you can tell, that we agree upon in Congress about the Russia investigation, but we do agree on this. After 2 years of investigation by Bob Mueller and his team, the public has a right to see what he came up with. The president shouldn't try to hide it. Bill Barr shouldn't try to hide it. That needs to come out. And we're going to have to use whatever compulsion is necessary to make sure that happens.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has some advice for former Vice President Joe Biden when he approaches women. Keep your distance.
Just pretend you have a cold and I have a cold.
She tells Politico the two touching complaints against him don't disqualify him from running for president. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
To your nightly fix of Forbes with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
All right, for people who listen to the show, they know I'm obsessed with space. I really am, and I think Greg Stebbin knows that as well. So I am thrilled to welcome to the show astronaut Leroy Chow. He is joining us from his virtual green room. I wonder what that looks like. Leroy, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure. Great to be on.
I have kind of a funny question to ask you at the beginning. Because I'm in media, a lot of times at parties, I'm one of those sought after people, but I think you would absolutely trump me. When you're at a party and people ask you, hey, what do? What kind of reactions do you get?
Yeah, well, usually when people, learn that I'm an astronaut, they're obviously interested and want to talk about what it's like and what I've done. And, you know, I mean, I'm usually a little bit more coy about telling people who I am because I'll be a little bit cagey. You said, I used to work at NASA. Oh, well, what did you do? Oh, I used to work in flight crew operations. And, and then if they push a little farther, then I'll tell them what I actually did. And if they're really interested,
Wait. If they're really in, so how many times have you had someone not be interested?
Well, I say, I used to work at NASA. Oh, that's nice. And they walk away or they just talk about something else. And that's fine. I don't need to. Actually, the funniest case of that was one time I was on an airplane and I had been upgraded to first class, which I was happy about. And there was a kind of an older gentleman sitting next to me, and he obviously knew the flight crew. He was calling the flight attendants by name and saying hi to them. And he seemed a friendly guy, and he started talking to me a little bit. And before takeoff, he says, I used to fly these things. I just recently retired, And I said, oh, well, congratulations. That's great. I'm sure you had an interesting career. And he said, oh, yeah. And he's like, what do you do? And I said, at the time I was still at NASA. And I said, I work at NASA. He's, oh, okay, well, what did you do for NASA? And I was, you know, I worked in kind of like operations and this and that. And he's, well, what does that mean? What did you do? And I said, well, actually, I'm an astronaut. And I just shut him up. He didn't say another word.
And I would imagine that in the world of NASA and astronauts, there's probably even kind of a social ranking there, too. But I would assume that if you've been in the International Space Shuttle a few times and your title is International Space Station Commander, it's probably pretty hard to rank you. Is there anybody in the social strata of NASA who kind of one-ups you in what you are and what you've done?
Well, I think it probably depends who you ask, you know, because in the beginning of NASA and beginning of all human spaceflight programs, they always start with military test pilots as their astronauts, right? And so when I was at NASA, certainly the military test pilots still pretty much ran the astronaut office. And so there definitely was a pecking order. That's become less so nowadays with, you know, it's more of a balance between military and civilian astronauts. But certainly in the space shuttle program days, shuttle commanders were kind of the military test pilot. Shuttle commander was kind of the top of the pecking order, right? And so civilian astronauts like me, who were not test pilots, you know, even though I'm a pilot, but I'm not a test pilot, was one of the lower ones, I guess. But that has kind of changed, like I said. It's kind of in the advent of the International Space Station, when they were looking for people like me to become commanders, then we were a little bit more on an equal footing. But until probably the last 5, 7, 8 years or so, since the space shuttle was retired, up until that point, the space shuttle commanders were still kind of the top of the pecking order. But that's kind of leveled out a bit.
When getting into this line of work, it just conjures up all kinds of things, where you've been, what it was like, and of course we'll ask you all those questions, but did you ever imagine as a kid that you would be in space? Did you think that?
Well, I was 8 years old, 50 years ago when we landed on the moon, and that was what started for me. Even as a person younger than that, when I was younger than eight, I was always interested in airplanes and rockets. I remember looking, you know, through picture books of airplanes and even reading kid books about flying. And, so I was always had that interest, but it really was the moon landing that kind of made me think, wow, you know, I mean, I remember after the actual landing was almost more amazing to me than the walk, you know, because these guys actually landed on the moon, you know, and I'd go out and look at the moon and, you know, realize that, wow, almost 250,000 miles away, there are two astronauts getting ready to go out and take those first steps, you know, and I just thought, wow, I want to be like those guys. That's what I want to be, you know. Now, of course, everybody in those days, you know, all my buddies, we all wanted to be astronauts, and we always played for, you know, we'd go out and play, and you know, I built a command module on the workbench underneath the workbench in our garage, you know, and, you know, played all those games, but it actually stuck with me. And when I was at university, studying engineering, I kind of came back to, well, you know, I'd always been interested in technical things, so kind of going in that direction was natural for me. And that qualified me to apply to NASA, you know, because the space shuttle program was just starting up. When I went to college, they had just selected their first group of space shuttle astronauts, which included a whole bunch of civilian engineers, scientists, and medical doctors. You know, and so suddenly the opportunity opened up for me, and I realized, hey, I really have a shot at you know, getting there. And so I always knew that after I finished my schooling that I always knew I would apply to NASA and try to get in there.
We're talking with Leroy Chow. He's a former NASA astronaut and International Space Station commander. He's an author, speaker, consultant. His book is One Orbit. His website is leroychow.com. Chow is C-H-I-A-O, leroychow.com. And Leroy, you now have mentioned, you know, as a kid, an eight-year-old, on the 50th anniversary, well, 50 years ago, there's two men about to walk on the moon, and you're the only person I've ever talked to who's actually done a spacewalk. Can you tell us what that's like?
Sure, yeah. Spacewalk is, if I had to describe it in one word, I would say surreal. It's, you do a lot of training to go out and do a spacewalk, and we train underwater. We actually do get in a spacesuit, and we go into the water. We're lowered into the water, and divers will put weights in different pockets around the suits so we're neutrally buoyant. Then we can simulate or train to do the tasks that we're going to do. Now, spacewalks are planned for about 6.5 hours each, and it's nothing like the movies at all. You know, the movies, you put a spacesuit on in a mere seconds, and you go and walk into this huge airlock and depressurize, and you're outside, and you can hear yourself breathing and your heart beating and moving along effortlessly, and none of that is true. Okay, so first of all, spacewalk is a very physical activity. You know, think about it. You're working inside of a balloon. This thing's inflated to keep pressure on your body to keep you alive. And even though you're operating at, in the case of the American suit, 4.3 PSI or a little bit more than a quarter of an atmosphere, it's still extremely stiff. You know, the suit, every time you move your arms and your fingers, you're exerting energy. You're using your muscles to move those joints around. And after 6.5 hours, you can be pretty beat, depending on what kind of activities you're doing. It's also very loud in the suit. You know, there's a very loud fan that blows oxygen over your face. So that's a good sound. If it ever gets silent, then that's a bad thing. because of the noise, you can't hear yourself breathe or your heartbeat or anything like that. Not that you could anyway, because it's interesting, in the U.S. suit, the pressure is so low that you can't whistle. You know, it's kind of fun to sit there and try to whistle, but you physically can't move enough molecules past your lips to make a whistling sound, you know? Now, interestingly, the Russian suit, interestingly, operates at slightly higher pressure at 5.9 PSI, and so it's even more stiff, but that little bit of difference in pressure, you can whistle. You can actually whistle in their suits.
Lauren wow. McCall will be so glad to know
yeah.
that.
How cool is that?
but as far as the physical or the, so that's kind of the physical or technical description of what it's like. But as far as kind of the, the emotional or the wow of what it's like to be outside in the spacesuit, it's a totally different experience. Of course, the first time I went into space and I looked out the window, I was just almost overwhelmed by the view of the Earth and the sunlight passing through the atmosphere and the blues and all the colors. And then, but then the first time I went outside in a spacesuit, think about it, you're kind of in your own self-contained spacecraft, right? And so we always go out in pairs with two people so that, if somebody has a problem with a suit or something, the other person can help get the first person back into the airlock and all that. But you're outside, in your own little spacecraft. And I remember the first time I went outside and looked at the Earth, suddenly the Earth became a sphere to me, because you look at it through a window. Of course, intellectually, it's a ball and you can see that it's a ball. But once you get out there and all your peripheral vision gets involved, then it really feels like a big sphere. Right. And so it was even more beautiful and more breathtaking than just looking out the window. But it's like I say, it's surreal because, like I said, you're in your own personal spacecraft. And in the case of shuttle-based spacewalks, I'm outside and I'm looking in the back window at my crewmates, inside the space shuttle, and they're waving at me and I'm waving at them. But, I'm very much alone. Even though they're 3 feet away, I'm very much alone. If I have a problem, my partner outside can help me, but these guys inside can't do anything. And so it's a pretty interesting experience, to be sure.
I bet. Hey, Leroy, can we have you join us for another segment?
Yeah, you bet.
All right, so we're going to continue this conversation with Leroy Chow, an astronaut. Imagine that. So hang with us.
It's time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on.
The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Welcome to your nightly fix of Forbes with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
We're continuing our conversation with Leroy Chow. He's an astronaut. It's so fascinating listening to him describe what it's like being in space, what the other astronauts were doing when he was outside. I say outside, like he's outside of the backyard. And it's just wrapping my mind around this is just so, so incredible. I have a million questions for you. That first time that you actually were there, what it was like when you came back down, all of that. Mm-hmm. What was the most surprising thing for you the first time you were in space? What was the biggest surprise?
I think the biggest surprise for me, especially the first time, was how the experience, even while I was in space, would kind of make me reflect on a lot of different things. And what I mean is, I described the view of the Earth. It was just more beautiful than I thought, even though I'd seen the photographs, seen the IMAX movies, which are excellent, by the way, and probably get you about 80 to 85% of the experience.
You're being too kind.
Well, the IMAX movies are pretty good, but of course, there's nothing like being there and seeing it with your own eyes. And the thing that struck me about the view is that every part of the Earth is beautiful in its own ways, right? I mean, even places where rookies would say, this is just boring. We're just flying over some desert. This is boring. I'm going to go get something to eat. If you look really closely, especially with using a telephoto lens, you can see the intricate patterns in the sand dunes. Just Mother Nature's beauty is just, all over. And some of the most bleak areas, like the Kamchatka Peninsula, where it's basically a nuclear test range for the former Soviet Union, it's beautiful in its own way. And so what I came away with is the Earth from an outside observer, is just such a beautiful planet and looks very peaceful. But intellectually, of course, I knew that there was war going on, there was famine, there were people suffering. You know, the very places we were flying over at that moment, there were likely people who were dying. And it was tough for me to kind of reconcile that. And so that surprised me, that, you know, it really made me start thinking about, wow, you know, what is life all about? And what really is important, you know. It was hard for me to reconcile the two conflicting impressions, or the impression and my intellectual knowledge of the reality of what was going on the Earth.
We're talking with Leroy Chow. He's, as you can tell, a former astronaut, International Space Station commander. Today he's an author. His book is One Orbit. He's a speaker. He's a consultant. His website is LeroyChow.com. Chow is C-H-I-A-O.com. On Twitter, he's AstroDude. On Facebook, he's CDR for Commander, I'm guessing. CDR Leroy Chow. Leroy, talking about that, the impact on you of looking at the Earth and having all those thoughts about the beauty and the intricacies and the patterns, and yet also knowing that things like wars are going on. Are you describing what some call the overview effect?
Yes, absolutely. You know, that term, I believe, was coined fairly recently, sometime in the last year or two. But it aptly kind of, it's a good name for that effect, the overview effect. You get that big world view. You get to see the beauty of the Earth, and it changes your perspective. I think it broadens your perspective. And, you know, in my case, how it affected me, you know, I used to be the kind of person that would get irritated by little things, you know, like if I felt I'd been overcharged or cheated somewhere, you know, just bother me for the rest of the day, you know. But gosh, after I came back from that experience, I just let all that go. It's not important. This is not important at all. And sometimes, you know, when my wife would call me and she'd be upset about something, and, you know, obviously very upset, I'd stop her and say, is someone, you know, really sick or dead? No. Okay, well, what happened? We can fix anything else, you know?
Let's talk about your book. Greg's mentioned it a couple of different times, and I right now I just made a note to myself, I'm getting your book the second we wrap up this interview. So tell us about the book and what it was like tackling that.
Sure. And, you know, the book, One Orbit, I have a company called One Orbit, and we do a lot of the speaking things that I used to kind of formalize all that. We do both corporate events as well as biggest component is our school or education events, sponsored education events. We go out and do programs internationally. And so I was encouraged to write the book by a good friend of mine named Zdeněk Sklenáš, and he's an art gallery owner in the Czech Republic. In fact, he owns one of the largest modern art galleries in the Czech Republic, in Prague. And he actually published the book. He and I talked about it on and off for a number of years. And finally, in 2016, we got serious about it. And he'd always wanted to, you know, me to publish some of the photographs that I had shot for NASA. And so we looked over, he came over to Houston. We looked over a bunch of my photographs, he and his daughter who helps him in the gallery. And we selected a number of photos, and then he basically took charge of it, laid it all out, and he asked me to write captions for the photos. And so, and of course, for the photographs, not only do I describe what the shot is, but I describe what kind of feelings it evoked inside of me, or what I was feeling when I shot those photos. So I'd say about 95 to 98% of the photos are shot by me. Obviously, some of the photos of myself were not shot by me, and a couple of the other ones. But, so it's a nice collection of different photographs of the Earth and of space with descriptions about, set the scene and also kind of what kind of emotions and feelings they evoke.
We're speaking with Leroy Chow. He's a former NASA astronaut and International Space Station commander. He works in business, consulting, executive coaching, space education. I love that. He's a professional international speaker and a co-founder and CEO of One Orbit. That's the name of his book. We've been talking about that. And of course, he provides keynotes and trainings to companies and schools. So there's my question. You are a space educator. I love that because I think there's a lot of disconnect with younger people with space. So how do you connect them to the excitement and what you just talked about with us?
Yeah, so that's actually a great question that kind of leads into the whole One Orbit thing. The reason we call the company One Orbit is we use that as kind of a metaphor for life. You know, we all get one go around, and our tagline is, you know, make the most of your one orbit. And so what I do, or what we do when we go out to schools, is we talk to the kids. You know, everybody, all the kids are always interested in spaceflight, you know. So as you kind of mentioned earlier, what kid doesn't get interested in when you talk about flying into space? And so we kind of use that as the hook to get their interest. And then we talk about, you know, hey, we're going to give you the recipe for success. Now, this doesn't mean you're necessarily going to become an astronaut if you want to become an astronaut or even work at NASA or in the space program. But whatever it is you want to do, the recipe for success is the same. It's number one, you know, do the very best you can in school. Take school seriously, study hard, you know, work hard. And you've got to keep yourself healthy, okay? You've got to keep your body healthy by getting enough sleep. I point out that fairly recent studies have shown, surprisingly, that the human brain continues to develop until around the age of 30. So it's not only important to get sleep when you're an infant or a toddler, it's important to get sleep even through your young adult years, you know, to keep your brain developing normally and in a healthy manner. We talked about the importance of diet and exercise, you know, and how studies, again, fairly recent studies have shown how absolutely important diet is and that exercise is the single most important factor in your long-term health. You know, and so we talk about taking care of your mind, your body, being motivated, working hard, and no matter what you set out to do, that's going to give you the best chance of achieving your goals. And so that's the overriding message we send to the kids, and then we show, of course, I show photographs of my experience. I tell them my personal story, tell them about overcoming obstacles too. You know, I mean, growing up in the 1960s in America, my parents made a very conscious decision to live in mainstream American neighborhoods, which absolutely was the right decision, so that we, you know, the kids could assimilate as quickly as possible into the mainstream. And, you know, that was great, except I was the only kid that looked different at school, you know, and so, and I was also the smallest in stature, so I definitely experienced a lot of what would now be called bullying, especially in middle school, and, you know, that was no fun. But I told them, tell the kids, and now you've got cyberbullying too, which, you know, adds a whole other dimension. But I said, hey, you know, I was able to kind of use a judo move and take that negative energy and turn it into something positive in that, you know, I use that negative experience to motivate myself, to be angry and motivate myself to work harder and to be better than every one of those kids that had been giving me a hard time. And so, you know, I said, you know, you're going to experience hardships and unpleasantness in your life, but, you know, try to keep perspective on it and try to find a way to use that energy in a positive way.
Wow, perfect place to end this. Leroy Chow, what a delight speaking with you. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much.
It's time to start drinking Tahibo Tea. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Every week, someone calls in with a story of another miraculous recovery. Order your Tahibo Tea now for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Call today, 818-883-7222. Again, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. All orders ship the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com.